Well, good morning, beloved. I'm so thankful for your attendance. If you're visiting with us, know that you're our honored guest. I much appreciate the songs and the prayers and the love of this congregation. You know, as a preacher, it's hard to find a true family of God, a people dedicated to the Word, a people dedicated to one another, and so I thank you. And if you're visiting with us, please stick around and get to know this amazing group of people better. Now, there's been a common theme in our songs this morning. And if you have our bulletin, you know the scripture that I'm going to refer to here in just a moment. We've been studying the book of 1 Peter in Bible class, and 1 Peter is speaking to a group of people who need to know who Jesus is, and they need to understand that salvation is found within Him. And so this morning, I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. And I got the title for this lesson from a Prudential insurance company commercial. I wanted to see who used this mountain in their logo. And I don't want to show that logo. I already said the name. But the insurance company uses this image. And one of their catch slogans at a time was, "You can have a piece of this." You know, this mountain here served as a fortification in times of war. People would flee to it, and that was their last line of defense. You know, insurance companies and insurance is something that it's valuable, but it's not always reliable. But the Rock of Gilbreth, as we see here, it served as an image of strength, of comfort, of protection. This natural formation has been used for decades. Now it's probably just a cell phone tower is put on it. But the image, the history is still there. And when we think of safety and security physically, I'd want to be there. I would want to have the higher ground, the ground that is sure beneath me, that no matter how much rain is falling, that I know that it's not going to give way. Because this mountain has proved itself to be stable over the generations. But why settle for just a piece? Why settle for just a piece when there is a much greater rock that we don't have to settle for just a piece? We can have the whole thing. And we can have the whole thing, and we can invite the ones that we love, that we care about, to share in that rock, not just a piece of it. This rock can only provide us with physical safety. But the rock that I'm speaking of this morning, the rock that we've sang about, the rock that we are going to read about, that rock can provide us with spiritual safety. Spiritual comfort, spiritual protection. The first thing that I want us to look at is that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Here in our text, beginning in verse 6, it says, "Therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.' Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense." Now, why settle for just a piece? This chief cornerstone was very important, very reliable, so reliable that when we think of insurance companies, how they can falter, how they can get things wrong, Jesus does not do that. You know, thinking about the chief cornerstone, this verse is from Isaiah 28 and verse 16, and it says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation." And look how this stone is described, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Now, during Jesus' time, he used this passage, he used this illustration to help paint a picture and understanding to the people who he was and what his purpose was in coming to earth and taking on the form of a bondservant. He came to help unite people. He came to help dictate, to direct them, to provide them with security. You know, the first stone that is set down in a masonry foundation is key because it dictates how all other walls, how all other stones will be placed. But also the cornerstone dictates in which direction that the building is going to protrude. It gives the building a sense of direction. We're going to build off in this direction. And that's what Jesus Christ allows us to do. We can build off of him in a proper, in a healthy, in a secure direction. We don't have to follow the ways of man. We can follow the ways of Christ. Now, Peter referred to this stone in Acts 4, verses 11 through 12. Look what it says. "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." You see, Jesus Christ points us. If we are building ourselves off of Christ, we're heading in the right direction. "There's salvation found in no other name, no other stone." In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus there says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, except through me." We understand that we have to build upon Christ. If the church is not built upon Christ, God says that he will pluck it up. Christ tells us that he will pluck it up. Now, when Peter confessed that Christ was the Son of God in Matthew 16 and verse 16, I want us to look at Christ's reply carefully. And there's a problem here in the English tense. There's a Greek tense here that does not translate. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This isn't giving Peter the authority to dictate how heaven will operate. It's better to understand that whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound. Whatever you loose on earth will have already been loosed. We can see the same kind of idea in John 20 and verse 23, saying, "If you have forgiven sins, they will be forgiven. If you do not forgive sins, they will not be forgiven." You see, they can only go in the direction that Christ dictated. They cannot decide for Christ, but only reply, relay a message in the direction that Christ wants us to go. Now, this rock that we read of in this passage is the rock that our hope of eternal salvation is found on. Look what 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." If it's not Jesus Christ, if we are not getting our cues, getting our habits, getting our mannerisms from Jesus Christ, our beliefs, our doctrine, then who are we getting them from? We must realize that this structure, the church, that Jesus Christ purchased with his blood, that we are supposed to be built upon, is a foundation that will last forever. This promise that Jesus Christ, this promise, God's church, whether it is here on earth or whether it is in heaven, it is an institution that is not going to dissolve away like the mountain, like the earth. The church will continue to exist beyond this physical realm. But Jesus Christ is not only the cornerstone, but also Jesus Christ is described as the life-giving stone. Now, when we think of Jesus, Peter spoke of him as a living stone. Look at what he says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You know, the interesting thing about life insurance is that we find it kind of funny that we name it life insurance. It doesn't pay you if you live. It doesn't prevent your death. And the idea of life insurance isn't really that old. Now, before life insurance, it was customary to leave an inheritance. And we understand what that means. Proverbs 13 and verse 22 tells us that a good man is one who leaves an inheritance for his children, for his family. They understood what a testator was, that his last will and testament does not go into effect until he is dead. But when Christ showed up on the scene, true hope, true salvation was born. True hope, true salvation, what was founded. And when we look at Jesus Christ and that he is the only stone that we can build upon, he's the only stone that can provide true life, why would we settle for just a piece? Why would we settle for something that is not authentic, not Jesus Christ? You know, we read of in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 how they were saved because of the rock that was cleft. We sang a song about that. If the well-being of others depended upon life insurance companies, if those that were wandering in the wilderness, if their well-being depended upon a life insurance company, I don't think we'd be reading about them. They would not have lasted. Because again, why would we be going off the directions of man? No, God is trustworthy. God is reliable. Consider what Psalm 61 verses 2 through 3 says. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me and a strong tower from my enemy. You know, many songs have come from this psalm. This idea of Jesus being the rock that provides safety, security, that provides us, yes, with direction, but also we can find life within him. We can maintain our life within him. You know, and God is, in Psalm 94 and verse 22, also described as, again, a refuge. In the beginning of John, chapter 1, in verse 4, he says that this light, this word, that he is the life. He is the light of all men. Again, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And we understand Christ and his purpose and what he came to do. Paul in Romans 5 and verse 12 is talking about Adam, and he says that as one man brought death into the world, you jump down to verse 17 of Romans chapter 5. Just by one man, life and righteousness entered in. Jesus Christ brought life and righteousness into a dead world, into a sin-sick world. You know, Christ is often pictured as a protector. In Matthew 23, verses 37 to 39, Jesus is weeping as he looks at Jerusalem, and he goes, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem! Oh, how I wish I could gather you together as a mother hen gathers her chicks. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, as the good shepherd, knowing his sheep, providing for his sheep. But there's something interesting about life. Life begets life. Life begets life. And when the living stone came, look what Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Again, our sacrifices are deemed worthy because we have a direction to go in. And we are considered as living stones, just as Jesus was. Life begets life. Now, as we view security, dependency, refuge, direction, Jesus Christ provides that. Why would we settle for just a peace? Why would we settle for something that is temporary? No matter how well it looks, no matter how well we believe that it can provide for us, when we look to Jesus Christ as the stone, as a living stone, what it can do for us, why would we go anywhere else? You know, there are many in the world today who they want to build their church. They want to build their beliefs upon man's doctrine, man's ideas. And we already looked at how the text tells us, the Word of God tells us that no man can lay another foundation which has already been laid. You know, that foundation that Jesus Christ has already laid, people try to build on top of it, but they get washed away. People try to build upon it, but in time they crumble and they fall. And we're going to look at another interesting aspect of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Yes, Jesus Christ is our living stone that begets life. But also, Jesus Christ is described as a stone of stumbling and destruction. And we find this fascinating, that it is described, that Jesus is described as a stone of stumbling, a stone of offense. We see this in verse 7. Therefore, you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You know, the rock of Gilboath offered security and refuge for them that were within. But when those that went up against that mountain, the defenders inside, anyone who dared to go up against that mountain, they were going to pay a hefty price. And I want us to turn to Matthew 21 and verse 44. Turn with me to Matthew 21. And beginning in verse 43, it says this in Matthew 21 and verse 43. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. In order for us to understand this saying, we need to see what Jesus said before. The parable of the wicked vine dressers. How they continued to reject all the messengers of the owner of the vineyard. They even killed the son of the owner. Of the owner's son. And we see that they are rejecting these people. And this quote, this saying is also found in Luke 20 and verse 18. And when we think of what does it mean that the kingdom will be taken away from those that rejected, we understand that God goes to the Gentiles. But look what it says. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken. There's a comparison here. A very interesting comparison. Now, what are the ways that people react when they come into contact with God? You know, man's righteousness is foolishness in the eyes of God. We understand that. Man cannot compete with God. And so when we go up against God, when we come across God, we cannot help but to stumble and be broken. You know, we hear the word of God and we repent. We find that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. They were broken by the humility and the perfectness of Christ. And Jesus Christ wants us to be broken when we come to the word of God. He wants us to allow the word of God to break us, to reshape us. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. But there are some who hear the word of God and are broken and they go away sorrowful. Matthew 19 and verse 22, the rich young ruler. It broke his heart. He understood what he needed to do, but he went away sorrowful. There are some who stumble, some who are broken and they retaliate and they gnash with their teeth. Acts 7 and verse 54. And then there are those in Isaiah chapter 8 who reject and they stumble and they find themselves in a snare ready to be taken captive. You know, people refused to obey Jesus for a numerous of reasons. And no matter what evidence he presented, they found a way to reject him. They found a reason to reject him. But they do so with such great peril. Even today, when we speak to people and we want them to know who God is, and they refuse and they reject, they're putting themselves in great danger. Romans 9 and verse 33 says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Deductive reasoning would tell us then thus, if we don't believe on him, we will be put to shame. But those who completely refused to obey the gospel, those that are found in Acts chapter 17 and verse 32, who mocked Paul. Now, scriptures tell us that the stone of judgment will fall upon them. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 through 9, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and do not do the things of the Son, do not obey the commands of the Son. You know, judgment is going to fall upon each and every one of us. Judgment fell upon Jerusalem. And because of their rejection, because Jesus was rejected, Hebrews tells us that he became the author and finisher of our salvation. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. But to those who reject him, to those who listen to Scripture and they reject it, condemnation comes. Condemnation comes. Look what it says. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. They stumble and they will find themselves being ground to powder. Because here in Matthew 21 and verse 44, and whoever falls on the stone will be broken, but on whoever it falls, it will grind him to powder. It is better to stumble onto the truth. It is better to stumble at the truth than the judgment of the truth to grind us to powder, to destroy us eternally. You know, the one true rock of ages throughout Scripture is the sole source of spiritual refuge. It's the sole source that can provide true hope. But being disobedient, we have a lot of warnings urging us not to be disobedient, not to reject. Revelation 6 and verse 17. You know, in life, don't be settled with just a piece of the rock. You know, oftentimes when we come to Christ, we take pieces of Christ's life and we take pieces of his message. And we're content with that. We're content with ignoring aspects. We're content with ignoring commands. You know, man and his schemes have created and hewn out great arguments to reject Christ. Just as we can build a fortress into a mountain to stand against the tides of war here on earth, mankind can also, in their rejection, heap up for themselves stones that make it more difficult, that make it a challenge to overcome. And we can blind ourselves to who Christ is. And we can go based upon what looks right to you, what you feel, what you believe. Now, Jesus Christ was rejected because he did not look like a king. He did not fit their image of a king. If you have not done so already, this morning I ask you, what foundation are you built upon? What stone do you follow? What stone do you rely upon? Because if you have not given your life over to Jesus, I plead with you to look into his word. Look into the word of God and understand what God would have you to do. What Christ would have you to do. And if you have given your life to God, and something has been said that sparks a heart of repentance, and you need to give your life back to God, we can help you with that. You know, if you want to put Christ on in baptism this morning, we can help you with that. The waters are ready. You know, for faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. You need to have a source of your instructions, a source to even begin your building upon. We can't rely on the equipment and the material of the world to build our faith. We need to allow the word of God to build our faith. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to establish his church, just as he told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. We need to repent, turning away from our evil ways, turning away from our life that is absent of God. We need to confess with an open mouth, not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1, 16 and 17, but confess with our mouth that Jesus, yes, is the Son of God. We need to reenact that death, burial, and resurrection. Mark 16, 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Those in Acts chapter 2, what shall we do? Peter told them, repent every one of you and be baptized, washing away your sins. And then we need to live faithfully. Revelation 2 and verse 10, be faithful unto death, even if it causes your death. If anyone has any need this morning, please come forward as we stand united and as we sing.